Welcome back to Beholder to Know on a TTRPG podcast. Today I'm here with Ember, the Space Jamba. Hello. We're here to talk about some fun topics. Burnout. Burnout is the topic of the day because both of us have similar issues where we do way too many things.
It's true. We do too many things. Also, it turns out, like, we discovered, like, the first session of, I can't even think about what we're on. Shadowrun. That we have, like, the same, like, arthritis issues, too, and psoriasis. So it's just,
good times all around. So much in common.
We love it.
So tell everybody first about you and where they can find you.
Yes. Hi, everybody. I'm Amber, also known as The Space Jamber on Twitter and Twitch. That is The, T-H-E, space, as in the place outside our Earth, and then Jamber, my name, with the word J in front of it. And yes, I am a TTRPG writer, editor, podcaster, streamer, and I do everything like Nikki.
Yes.
I feel like talking about burnout is like...
Fitting.
Too real. Years into a pandemic.
I'm going on almost 3 years of running this podcast, and I have officially taken like one long break, which was right before / after Gen Con. For those who are listening, Gen Con was in August, and we are recording this in the beginning of October.
Yes.
So burnout for me, it always like sneaks up on me and I don't realize it's happening. So I keep very thorough track of what I do. So I have a website that is called Clockify that I will use and track what projects I'm working on, when I'm streaming, when I'm recording, when I'm editing. So I can track how long I've worked on something and did things that are money oriented, but also things that are fun or things that are like for podcasts or streams that aren't paying, but still something. And it gives me a good idea of like, how much time did I spend in this month or this week or this month and this day or whatever doing the things? Amber's over here having...
You just wrinkled my brain.
Amber's over here having like, what the fuck is happening? What is this?
No, you wrinkled my brain because I've never thought of applying that to like my TTRPG stuff. Like I've only done it like... For those who don't know me, like I got laid off in May, and it was for like a marketing agency. And so like we did stuff like, well, a Toggle, but it's the same thing as Clockify, where we were logging our hours like that. And I've never considered doing it for like the pro bono shit I do for TTRPGs.
To me, it's still work. I'm doing it to market myself. I'm doing it to get my name out there. I'm doing it to, have fun and play with my friends. But if it's a live thing or it's going to be live or it will be recorded or whatever, then I do it. If it's a for fun game, just for funsies, like if we just said, hey, let's go play this game tonight, not recording, not for any other reason, I wouldn't track that. But if it's a meeting to discuss something that's related to podcasting, if it's me setting up my tweets for Twitter, if it's me responding to invoices or emails, I track all of those things because at first my reason was I wanted to make sure I was working 40 hours a week.
Now my reasoning
is to wonder, why am I so fucking tired? And then look at this and say, oh, it's because you worked so many hours last month. That's why.
Fuck.
It actually has reports and things. We are not sponsored by this, by the way. Clockify is not sponsoring me. They should, but they're not. So like last month, it was my lowest month probably. And I worked 168 hours. But that's showing the burnout that I had. But the month before that was at 250.
Oh my God.
Combining
everything. Nikki. Yeah. Shit.
It also kind of keeps track of like, when's the last time you had a day off?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Because I'm bad at that too. That's one thing with freelancers. I'm very bad at taking days off.
Yeah, no, big same. So for me, the way I kind of track myself is like I have my, I have my iCal that I keep like, okay, this is how I know which days I'm going to be on a stream, which days I have a recording or whatever, and like time and everything. Because my issue just with my like not only like ADHD, but also like just in general, mm-hmm. is remembering like the exact times if I just like don't write it down somewhere. And I'm looking at October right now and I'm like, holy shit, I only have like 2 days on the calendar that are set as like dedicated off days. And that's no, three, because Halloween is a day. And I'm just like, Amber, this. You idiot.
I don't plan dedicated off days. I don't plan dedicated off days. So like I took a day off last Sunday.
Yeah. Good.
And that was the first time I took a day off since the beginning of September. And the only reason why I took a day off in September, beginning of September, was because my girlfriend invited me to Miami. So I did not bring anything with me. She asked if I wanted to. Like she's like, do you need to bring a laptop to like do a paid game mm-hmm. or whatever? Because I do pro GMing usually Saturday nights. And I was going to, and I was like, this feels like a trap. Actually, I don't think I'm going to. I think I'm gonna leave the computer home and just not. I could have. She went to bed pretty early Saturday night, so I could have done it, but I'm glad I didn't. So I took like a full 2 days, day and a half off.
Good. I'm glad you did.
Maybe 2 days. I don't know. I think I took Friday, Saturday off, and then I work Sunday night. But yeah, so that's where I think burnout comes out really easily, especially in this field or in any type of freelance field, because it's so easy to take on so much. And for you and I specifically, we have a lot of different things that we can do. So yeah. Mm-hmm. For people who don't know, which would be weird, but I'm a podcaster, I'm a streamer, I'm a producer, I'm a project director for Weave a Tale. I mm-hmm. am a audio editor for myself and for clients, and I do professional GMing, and I do developmental writing, and I do tutorial video creations, and like it keeps adding up, and there's more things. And then like being a producer or a creator of a podcast, that adds also social media management and bookkeeping and accounting and all of that stuff too, on top of all of those things. And then you add being a mom to it, and you add like trying to
chronic illness,
managing chronic that. Pain, being poly, having multiple relationships. And it's a fun balancing act mm-hmm. sometimes. And sometimes it's like, what the fuck did I do today? Like that. There's been Sundays where I had like 13 hours in a row of scheduled content, like just schedule after schedule.
Yes, same. Oh my God. That was okay. Hold on. Like yesterday, for example, we had sleepaway from, 3 to 6:30. And then I had a session zero that went from 7 to 9. And I mean, and just that span is 6 hours of mm-hmm. content. And then I was like making character, like immediately after that, I was making a character for like a stream that's premiering tomorrow, like mm-hmm. for 2 hours after, like before bed. And I'm like, already this morning, I've been on the session zero. And I'm just like, oh my God. But, yeah. Sorry.
You're fine. Go.
Well, like in the same vein too, it's like the way that I kind of treat my content creation is like there. I can't afford to go to a therapist right now because I don't have a full-time job, and like I can't afford a copay for my therapist through my husband's health insurance. So that's sick. So like I've had to, to not deal with the pain of like the shit I need to deal with in therapy, I like throw into content creation and being on streams and like being on podcasts and like, oh my God, I need to like write this thing. I need to help this.
I stay busy, I can't think about the anxiety.
And then that is like the link to burnout is like, yep. I'm keeping myself busy so I don't have to think about this. And then, oh no, I'm thinking about it. Oh no, I'm dying. And it's just cyclical. And it's like, oh no, I'm dying. Let's go back into playing more games. It's just
more games. Oh yes. No, there's less games. There's less games. Nope. I'm dying again. More games.
Fill it up.
That's honestly like, I go through a cycle, like you said, it is a cycle. It's 100% a cycle. And I 100% will admit and have admitted multiple times that I use tabletop games as a type of coping mechanism, as escapism. And I enjoy playing characters that have different problems than I have. So I can pretend like my life is fine. Like these people have way more problems than I have. So therefore, it's fine over here on this end of things. And I feel the therapy thing because I had a therapist in May because a friend helped me pay for it for like 2 months when I had a really, really low point. And my husband got us health insurance from his job like in August. But same problem, I couldn't afford the copay. So I finally just literally yesterday reached out to my therapist that I had from BetterHelp before to see if they would be like, hey, can I see you privately? Because I can't afford 4 times a month, but I can afford 1 or 2 times a month maybe with my with my insurance.
Right.
So I have my first therapy session in like 5 months next week, which I desperately need. Everybody go to therapy. If you don't think you need therapy, you're wrong.
Everyone needs therapy. Everyone.
Some, even if you're like, I'm well balanced. No, you go to therapy.
It is so, I cannot tell you how nice it is to have like an external person that isn't my husband or, well, I'll tell you how bad my burnout was actually around the time I got laid off. I did have another partner that I had been seeing for like a year and a half. And then another friend that we weren't like dating officially, but we were like entwined. And I like around the time I got laid off, I was just like, I'm so overwhelmed with everything right now and having to find a job and now realizing I can't afford to go to therapy and now realizing I have to like full-time search for a job on top of like full-time freelance hustle to try to keep myself afloat and pay for rent, and my health, like my chronic illness was flaring up. It was so fucking much. I was like, I have to end these relationships because my life is falling apart, and I felt so bad. Anyway,
I think that's probably the hardest part for me was the chronic illnesses, because I went without insurance for a year.
And
I was thankfully able to afford my antidepressants and anti-anxiety medications, and I had a thing worked out with my primary that they would refill it, and it costs like, I don't know, $75 to go see them cash pay. And then I wasn't too expensive with GoodRx for the medications. Like, it's still expensive, but for America, it's not that bad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the problem is, for people who don't know, psoriasis is an immune deficiency issue where your immune system is attacking your skin and attacking your joints if you have psoriatic arthritis. Mm-hmm. And I've had both since I was little, psoriasis since I was born, and then arthritis since I was 13. So at 17, I was put on something called a biological. Which, for again, those who don't know, is an immunosuppressant that makes it so your immune system stops attacking yourself. And I was on one called Skyrizi, which is a phenomenal medication. And it's the first one that actually gave me clear skin in my life, which was astonishing. And I thankfully got one more dose before I lost my health insurance so I could use it, but I had to go 6 months on the one shot. So my psoriasis slowly came back. I took the last dose I had, and then I went another 10 months without it. So by the time I got to that 9-10 month mark, like right now, I just got my medication again, literally like within the last 3 weeks.
Oh, fuck.
Not even. So my psoriasis has been flaring so much between stress and because it was the summer and because it's just warm as fuck in Florida and I hate it, and like all of the combination of things. So the pain levels were higher, which made it worse. And then like, it makes it harder to focus on work, and it's a combination of everything. And I, what sucks is like the day we got our health insurance in August, no, in May, end of May. So June, in June, the day we got our health insurance, I called my doctor, my dermatologist was like, I need an appointment. Let's go. Let's get this project started. Let's get this started. It took me 3 months to get blood work. Because my primary fucked me over.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah. I finally got it done and finally got the medications 3 months later. And I'm like, for fuck's sake, please just give me something. Just give me my meds.
I cannot agree with you more. Like, I'm very, very lucky in that I, you know, when I was at my previous employer, like, I got started on Kaiser Permanente, like, which is unfortunately only available in like certain areas in the US, but like I got started on Kaiser Permanente in like 2016, and then when I moved from Geico to Lowe's, like, fuck it, I don't care. I talk about it all the time. When I moved from Geico to Lowe's, like, I kept Kaiser because they great. And then when I moved from Lowe's to the like marketing agency, they didn't have it. And so suddenly I had Blue Cross Blue Shield, and like nowhere in DC except like Blue Cross Blue Shield. And I the entire like 6 months I was at the agency, I couldn't get my arthritis medication. It took me forever to find a pharmacy, like a pharmacy in DC that like I could get my medications through, like for my ADHD and my depression. And I'm like, why is this so?
Please just have help. Thank you.
Yeah. Welcome. This podcast turned very quickly into, hey, the American healthcare system, really bad in general, but also specifically when you're facing abject poverty.
Also, it's also brought to you by Nikki has been off Adderall due to the shortage of Adderall in America right now. So ADHD is flaring high. So congratulations. You all get to listen to that.
God, I feel so bad. I'm so sorry.
It's whatever, I guess. But so on that, with all the chronic illnesses and flare-ups and yeah, health issues, and then you add on top of that the constant need to, I don't know about you, but I'm kind of like this person that needs to do it myself. Like, I hate asking for help. So then I just take it all on myself, and then I ask for help. Like, I break down. I'm like, hey, I'm going to ask for help now. Cool. And then the people that help get busy or get distracted or forget or something happens, and then suddenly I'm doing it myself again. And you know, if it happened once, it'd be different, but when it happens like 5, 6, 7, 8 times, it's like, maybe it's just best if I do it all myself. There's a reason I do the entire podcast minus editing.
Yourself?
Yeah, minus editing for the discussion episodes, which Matt helps me with. Thank you, Matt. Matt, if you're listening because you're editing this, I appreciate you. You are an amazing person. Aww. Please continue being an amazing person. We love editors.
Yes.
But everything else for the show, I do myself, because every time I've tried to bring somebody else on board, like, I desperately was like, hey, I'm looking for someone who is as enthusiastic for this as I am. Like, equal partners, even. Like, I know that this has been my baby for 200 plus episodes, for 15,000 downloads, which we just hit last night, which I do not fucking know how the fuck that happened.
Congrats. Oh my God, that's amazing.
So confused. If you're listening to this, like, can you tell me why? Can you go comment on something and tell me what you like about the show? That would be fantastic, so I can know what I'm doing right.
Do it. A review literally takes 30 seconds on your favorite podcatcher app.
Yeah, I haven't had a review on iTunes in like a year.
I don't use iTunes because I am an Android bitch, but it's
so fine. I'm an Android person too, but iTunes is the one that likes the fucking things.
Fair. Yeah. But yeah, no, yeah. Congrats on 15,000 downloads, but I totally understand that too, because it like it comes to a point for some of like the charity streams I do. You know, I feel a lot of the time, and it's like literally no offense to like the rest of the community, and it's no offense to like anyone, it's just like when it comes to like doing such a big thing, and I've always been like this, right? It's like, you know, I know my working processes, and I don't want to subject other people to how fucked up my brain is internally and how like disjointed it feels putting shit together. So I'm just like, you know what? I'll put this all together myself. I won't ask help because I don't want to seem like a burden to other people. And I don't want to like, I don't want people to know that I'm barely holding it together.
Are we the same person?
We are.
Yeah, that's like, I remember I actually had someone who was willing to help, and then like they got sick and life got ahead of them. So that's fine. And they were like, well, what can I help with? And it took me a while, like a bit, to like just sit with them and be like, I don't know. What do I do? What do I actually do? And like, there is so many little things that just add up. So like, perfect example. I have a thing where I schedule tweets. I have a Twitter schedule in Excel that tells me this is the tweet that goes out at this time. And then I'll schedule it out for 2-4 weeks, whatever. That takes like 4 hours. It doesn't seem like it will, but that takes like 4 hours. And suddenly it's like half your day is gone. Or oh, well, okay, this new episode is going to be released. Cool. Well, what do I have to do? Well, I have to add, I didn't edit it. So discussion episode, let's say Matt edited it. I have to download it. I have to add in the advertisements. I have to then export it. I have to then upload it. I have to add the details to the description. I have to add the release date. I have to copy and paste this to Patreon so it's for early release. Then I need to take the clip that is from the episode and add it to DaVinci, then do the closed captions for it and make that video, then export that video and then upload it and then schedule the Twitter announcements. And then I'm done. Mm-hmm. After all of those things, at least until it's released, and then I have to put it on Discord and like retweet it and do all those things. So like there's all these little steps that people don't understand are between A and B. It's not just record and release. Record, yes. Edit, release. There are 20 something steps in between that add up. And if you're editing the episodes on top of that and not having help, so like for the actual plays and the one shots that I do, that's a whole nother beast, because editing takes forever. You have to do your level audio leveling, you have to clean out your silences, you have to get rid of the background noise, you have to clean up all the audio, but then you also have to add sound effects and music and find the right music for the right theme, and then it's just like, is this one episode? Is this two episodes? Do I have time to edit the full thing? Like, that's why my one shots, if you guys haven't noticed, which I'm sure you have gotten shorter.
Is it so much?
Because they used to be 3 hours for every one shot, and it took so long to edit. And then I would hit 4 hours, and I just say, fuck it, and cut it into two episodes, and it would hit 2 hours. So now my limit is 2 hours. Like, I will not go over 2 hours unless it's like imperative or an advertised game or something. That's the only exception to that rule. But like, it'll be 2 hours, and I don't care if this one shot is an hour long at the end of the day. I do not give a shit anymore. I'm like, here is the hour content. I did my job. Have fun. Because it's just, I don't have time. I don't have time to do it. And honestly, from as an editor, 3 hour episodes are too long. Nope, nobody wants to listen to 3 hour episodes. And yes, I know Chaotic
Critical Role.
Yes, I know Critical Role has 3 5-hour long episodes. They can get away with that.
Because they're the trailblazers in the fucking industry. And they have entire teams to work on putting that content together. They have the money. They have the time. Yep. One person cannot do it alone without all of their expenses paid. Pay your fucking artists.
Yes.
No, I feel you. Because like when, you know, when... So specifically, like, my professional, like, expertise is in branding and like recruitment marketing. And so when it's a lot like that, where, like, you know, companies, when they establish their like employer branding and recruitment marketing teams for the first time, they don't recognize like how much actually goes into it. Like when I first started at Geico, it was like a team of two, and we had to establish an entire like sub brand of an already existing like ginormous entity, right? So it was like, how do you expect the two of us to like put together a career site and social media content and, you know, put together like all of the recruitment marketing materials and like, you know, advertise our jobs, and how do you expect all of us to do that and then not give us the resources to fucking do it, like the money and the training? And I mean, like when I was getting the, again, this is, I know this is a little off tangent, like not about TTRPGs, but it's like tangentially related because I bring, you know, what I do professionally, I bring into the space. But like when I was getting the brand ambassador program set up for Lowe's, like I, you know, it was a project that was initially like put onto my shoulders, solely me, and setting up a brand ambassador program for a company of 300,000 people is a fucking ton. And, you know, they were just like, oh, yeah, you just have to like build a community and put together like a Microsoft Teams group. No, it's not that.
That's all you gotta do. It's just the simple thing.
Annoy Amber with one simple trick. but it got to a point where, like, you know, I was working on brand ambassador for like 2 or 3 months, and then like one, the pandemic hit, and then two, at the same time the pandemic hit, that's when my gallbladder gave out, and I was in and out of the hospital for 6 months dealing with that. So I had to like learn, okay, I need to like put this project on, like I need to like collaborate with this project right now, because like right, I don't know if I'm going to live through whatever nonsense that I'm going through. So Nikki,
as someone who worked in corporate, I understand that pain. The amount of, hey, this person left, can you just take over it temporarily? Mm-hmm. And then it became your permanent job, happened so many times. Or, hey, we need this thing done, we don't have anybody else who has time for it, can you figure out how to do it? And I am that person. One thing that I will say that I like that I have as a skill set is that I am one of those people, thanks to my ADHD, I guess, or thanks to whatever, where if I want to learn something, I can. Like if someone asks me to learn something, I am more than likely capable of figuring it out.
Yeah.
If I'm interested in it, I will do that hyperfixation thing and I will figure it the fuck out through Google and YouTube and everything like that. Mm-hmm. And how I've done all of my craft projects. That's how I've done all of my things for podcasting and for streaming. Like everything that I've done, I've taught myself or had like somebody give me a basic rundown and then taught myself from there. No formal training here, but from anything. I got a health administration bachelor's degree. That does not teach me jack shit. That taught me how to bullshit a paper. That's what that taught me.
Hell yeah.
I should have been an English major, but then I wouldn't have gotten A's on my papers because they would have been like, wait a second, we're on to your games. We understand these tricks. We're English majors.
But anyway. We all bullshit for a living.
Yes. But with being self-taught, I was like that at my job. So when I went into a position, I knew very little about Excel. Like I knew of Excel. I knew how to use the basics. And they're like, do you know how to do these formulas? And I was like, no, and I'll figure it out. Like I know how to do like a V lookup, I guess, or I know how to do like a count if or a sum if or something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But they wanted more advanced formulas. So I started messing around with it and I started teaching myself advanced formulas and more advanced formulas and more advanced formulas and making these really cool things in Excel that Excel shouldn't be doing, and like needing like 30, 40 tabs to make it work, but I would make it work. Yeah. And then they're like, oh, well, this thing broke and the person who made it, it's a Visual Basics, which is the language, coding language of Excel for their macros. Yeah. And I was like, okay, like I'll look at it and see if I can figure it out. And then I taught myself the basics of Visual Basics. And so I became the Excel guru at work within 2 or 3 years because I just was willing to go and look it up and study and like play around with it until it worked the way I wanted it to.
Yeah.
Was it the best way to go about it? Probably not. There were probably things that I did that could have been done much faster and much cleaner and crisper and worked better, but I made it work with what I had and what I was able to look up with what minimal knowledge I did have. Mm-hmm. And what's funny is like when I left the company, I had so many projects on my plate that I wasn't going to be shocked if they didn't replace me, but I knew that I would be hurting like all of my coworkers.
Yeah.
By leaving, which is the worst part. I felt like I knew I needed to leave for my own mental health, which is why I left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I felt bad still because I knew that everything that I was doing currently, which was more than a full-time job worth of work, was going to fall into the people who were already working more than a full-time job's worth of work. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, I talked to a coworker a couple months ago. It had been over a year since I've left. They still haven't replaced me. Everything I told them that was going to go wrong went wrong. They didn't listen to me. All of those things need to be fixed by someone who isn't me, but nobody there knows how to do it. So all of the Excel things that I built are broken.
Yeah.
I built hundreds of things for them.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them were huge projects that I worked on with someone else using SQL and using really fancy months of work effort. All of it was broken because they changed where their storage system was. And I told them when they mentioned it before I left, that's a bad idea. This is going to break literally everything that we've built. They're like, well, blah, blah, blah. No, this is a bad idea. It will not work with SharePoint. SharePoint doesn't do this.
Yeah.
You're going to have to recreate everything. Oh, well, we'll recreate. Like, no, you want me to recreate everything. I don't want to recreate everything. And then I eventually left anyway. And sure enough, that's exactly what happened. And nothing has changed. They never hired a replacement. It is just as shitty as it was when I left. And the person's like, be glad that you left. It has not gotten better. The targets have just changed.
Yeah.
And yeah. It's just, it's a nightmare. So burnout's real in corporate worlds too, when your bosses just don't give a shit about who you are and what you do and anything about your mental health whatsoever.
Oh, yes.
Hello. Sorry for the interruption here, but I wanted to give you an advertisement for one of our friends in the tabletop community. Please give it a listen and go check them out.
What happens when you get a bunch of truly nerdy scientists together and force them to play tabletop role-playing games? You might be surprised. Nature Check is a TTRPG channel you can find on Twitch, YouTube, and podcast apps everywhere. Join the fun as the cast explores fantasy worlds and connects your favorite gaming moments to real-life science. If you like TTRPGs, ridiculous jokes, and nerdy fun facts, then Nature Check is the show for you.
Now, back to the show.
That is why I left Geico. But like, ultimately, I think a lot of it can be applied to TTRPGs too, because this particular industry, unless you're part of Wizards or you're part of Paizo, you know, and like these other, like, you know, the big ones, right? Like, it is all independently run. It is all independent, like, for the most part, you know, it is all like self-sufficient. And so, you know, there's almost this expectation, which I guess I get that, like, you know, you have to, like, pay your dues and, like, you know, work yourself to the absolute bone. Like not even just to the bone, but, like, completely powdered dust blowing in the wind, right? To like, make yourself, like, give yourself, like, a foundation to build off of and, like, eventually work yourself up to a Paizo or, like, an evil hat or something. And I kind of hate this, like, bootstrappy thing, and I know it's, like, the communist in me that's just, like, no, like, we should all just kind of, like, work together and, you know, make it happen for all of us and just, you know, break the chains and you know, what is it, collectivize and own the means of our production. There it is. But, like, goddamn, you know, at the same time, you know, we're all in this together of, okay, we all have these, like, wild ideas of, like, tabletop gaming and, like, streaming our games and streaming the worlds that we want to put together and putting up the content that we want with no way of funding it, really, unless, like, I joke that, like, the same $5, like, circulates through the TTRPG community, like, maybe once every year. So, yeah, it's
not wrong.
Yeah,
it's not wrong. I understand the whole pull yourself up by the bootstraps, because it took me a bit to actually get to this. This has to do with burnout, but also has to do with, like, knowing your worth. So this episode is, like, not just about burnout. Evidently, it's right. Burnout, chronic illness, our healthcare system, everything.
Fuck capitalism. The episode.
fuck capitalism plus TTRPGs. Question mark. But when I first started charging money for editing. Mm-hmm. I charged very little because I didn't know what to charge. I didn't know what the numbers were. If you look online, the numbers vary so fucking drastically from, like, literally, like, $10 an hour of audio to, like, $200 for half an hour of audio. And I'm like, what the hell is the difference? Like, what's the difference between your quality? What are you offering? What, where do I stand in this? Like, all of these questions that I had, and I'm just like, I don't know what to charge. So I charged, I don't know, I think I charged $30 for an hour of audio. And that was for three people, which was not enough because I did the math and I thought that would be $10 an hour. Or no, I thought I could do 1 hour of audio, it would take me 2 hours. So it would be $15 an hour. That's how my math was done for me. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. It takes me to do my audio two times the amount. Does not take me two times the amount to do somebody else's audio. I realized that it takes me 3, 4, sometimes 5 times the length of time to do somebody else's audio, depending on the quality, the level of experience that they have, and like what they want. Mm-hmm. So there were episodes that I was doing that I would work 20 plus hours on and get paid for 6 hours of work based off my original $15 plan. Mm-hmm. So I bumped up the prices a little bit, and then eventually I bumped them up again to include tax, because I wasn't including tax in any of these. So I was also deducting taxes after the fact. So I was making even less than what I originally thought. And I still think I'm charging too little, but it was better. When I started adding other things, so when I added TTRPG developmental writing / editing, and I added podcast consultations to my thing, I reached out to someone and I talked to them about it, because I'm like, look, I need you to tell me that I need to charge more. And he's like, okay, yeah, we could just talk. I'm like, no. I will pay you to do this because this is your job. I will pay you the money to tell me the things I already should know, but my brain is telling me I'm an imposter and don't deserve to charge that much. And I realized during that conversation, the problem was when I started at my company that I used to work for, I worked there for almost 13 years. I started there when I was 20, and I worked from being a outbound call center rep to right below the highest person in the company in our building, who was a bitch, but that's not the point, and being fucking miserable. And I worked my way up, but I worked my way up from like the minimum that they paid to a higher amount that was medium income or whatever. But the problem was, like, I was making like 50 grand a year, but I wasn't bringing home 50 grand a year. I was bringing home $7 less an hour than I was supposed to be bringing home after taxes and health insurance and all that jazz. So I was working too many hours. They wanted more from me. I was exhausted. I was mentally unstable. I hated all of it. And when I left and started in this, my brain was like, you need to start over, because I had that mindset from watching my parents and then watching myself, where you start from the bottom, you work your ass off, you get your way up to the top. I don't have 13 years to get myself to a healthy pay.
No.
I can't do that. So I needed to charge more, and I needed to, but I couldn't justify it in my head.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
one of the biggest things that this person said, so this was Soul. If you're looking for a consultant, honestly, Soul is fantastic. Go hire Soul.
I love them. Soul's an angel. Okay, yes. Sorry.
One of the things that we discussed was average pay for a consultant for podcasting was $85 an hour. And that was an hour of my time. And I'm like, there is no fucking way that I can charge $85 an hour. I am not worth, like, this is my brain talking. For anybody listening, I understand logically that I am worth more. So this is just my imposter syndrome speaking. It's like, I'm not worth $85 an hour. There's no fucking way I can charge that much. That's ridiculous.
Fucking mood.
But so I lowered it to 75 and still was like, this is too much. Like, I wanted to lower it to 25, which is what I used to get paid at my old job. And he said, why don't you think you're worth it? Why don't you think you can do this? And then with developmental writing, it was 10 cents a word was the average. And I did the math and I'm like, that's a lot. Like, it doesn't sound like a lot when you just say 10 cents a word, but that's $1,000 for a 1,000-word document, I think. Is that the math? Is that how math works? I don't know.
Wait, 10 cents a word. It's 1,000-word document.
10,000 maybe. 10,000-word document. That's the word. Yep.
Oh, 10,000.
So a 10,000-word document, which is equivalent to like decent size tabletop RPG, like 5,000 words is about 9 pages, give or take. So a 20 page-ish document was $1,000 at 10 cents a word, which is a lot, in my opinion. Like, in my brain, it was like, that's too much. Like, I'm not worth that. I should charge 2 cents a word. I should charge one cent a word. And they brought up a very good point. Why don't you think you're worth it? I said, well, you don't have experience in this particular thing. They're like, how long have you been a tabletop player? I was like, 19 years. They're like, okay. How long have you been a DM? I'm like, 8 or 9 years. Okay.
Yeah.
And we just had a conversation about, you did what at your old job? You built manuals, you built instruction guides. Yeah. And how long did you do that? 8 years? And they're like, yeah. And how many did you do? Over hundreds for lots of departments for corporation level things.
Yeah.
Why don't you think you're qualified? That counts towards this new skill because all tabletop developmental writing is building instruction guides, but for creative reasons instead of non-creative reasons. And I'm like, I can't argue with you right now because you're right. Fuck.
You want to know, I had the exact same conversation with Mitch when Mitch approached me for Necrobiotic. I was like, oh yeah, I can edit all of Necrobiotic for $500. He was like, no, what the fuck are you talking about? $500? And I was like, yeah, no, like that's what I feel like is fair to edit that whole book. And he was like, no. Like, you have come highly recommended. Like, Mitch is like a secret, God bless him. You know, Mitch is like the goofiest man in the entire world. But also he's like a secret cheerleader and he can yell at me later for having this on record. But like when, you know, he was like, no, I think a fair rate for this is like at least 2K, if not more. And I was like, the fuck do you mean? You want to pay me all that money for this book? What? Huh?
Yeah, right. And like logically, when you break it down, you're like, that makes fucking sense. But like also, why?
Where do you have this money? Well, and then he was like, because with Necro, it was like, I can't find somebody that has like the specialized skill of being able to like, you know, pick out the idioms from Italian and like make it sound correct to the English ear. And he was like, I found out you went to like a global studies and world languages high school. And I was like, fuck you. being able to like have some, it's one thing to like internalize, I think, is, you know, internalize, yeah, no, I've done cool shit, I'm capable of achieving great things, don't pay me for it because I don't think I'm worth it, like, yep. Because I'm just little old me.
Yep.
So having somebody give you that rough love of, no, you are worth it, we're all in this together, we are all trying to achieve this goal of putting together like the best project and the best output possible.
I think the secret for me too is Soul Rewarded in a way was like, if you lower your market value, you're lowering it for everybody.
True.
You are hurting everybody. So by lowering your standards and your pay, you're undercutting, whether it's because you're doing it on purpose or not, you're undercutting all the people who are charging more and giving the same quality levels. And that's not fair. But then also eventually, I will add, you will eventually burn yourself out because you take on too much work, which is what happened with me. And you take on too much, you agree to too much, and then you owe too much, and then you don't have the time to meet the deadlines, and then you're waking up at 5 a.m. on a Saturday to finish editing something before it gets released on noon, and you're supposed to go spend the whole day with your family at Busch Gardens on 3 hours of sleep.
Damn, that's such a good point. And like, I know Soul has used that line on me too, of like, no, if you, you know, if you undervalue yourself, you're undervaluing like the space in general. And it's so true, because I mean, even when I'm like, you know, I think the TTRPG space, out of like every other space I've been in, like understands that like, you know, skills are cross compatible. Skills like that you glean in some areas can be translated into like being successful in other places. But like, as I've been applying to like new jobs and everything, gross, I can feel the tears welling up in my eyes. Like, I've been struggling to like properly articulate, like, no, like, yes, I am a like content creator in this very niche space. And like, I've been fairly successful at it over the past year or so that I've really been going at it whole hog. And I've gleaned all of this like media production skill and all of this other skill on top of everything else that I've done like in my corporate life. It's so hard for like the other side of the coin, like the corporate side, to like understand its legitimacy over here. And it makes me so mad for like people to not recognize that like you can be skilled and multifaceted and be able to do pretty much anything you set your mind to. Mm-hmm. It's not one size fits all.
And like, I think that's the biggest thing. And also, like, I've learned there's particular things that I don't want to do, and I've tried them and I don't like them and I don't do them, even though it would be good money. Like video editing, for example, video editing pays really fucking well. I hate it with a fiery passion of every fiber of my being, because it's just so slow and tedious. But I have friends who do like it, who are good at it. So if someone's like, hey, do you do video editing? I say, no, I don't. If you want just audio, I got you. But if you want video, here is a friend. Mm-hmm. Here is somebody else that I know that is looking for work who is a video editor. Mm-hmm. And like, I'll always ask clarification. Like, I don't mind if people message me and ask me like how much it costs to do something and then don't hire me. That's fine. As long as it's like, hey, I can't afford that right now. And I'm like, it's fine. Don't ask me for a discount, then I'm good. The only time that it's pissed me off was more recently. Someone asked me for a quote, which was fine. And I gave them a quote and they ultimately couldn't afford it, which again is fine. But what they said was, I think we're going to go the route of asking for volunteers, because this is a thing that's built with the community. So just stay within the community. I'm like, no, you're just looking for free labor, and you're going to get what you get for that free labor, which is not good quality work. And also, anybody who does it, can I just have a talk with them first? Just like, whoever you ask to volunteer their time to help you edit this thing that I just quoted you $200 to edit. Can I have a talk with them? Before they work for you?
Part of me wants to be like, name and shame, but I know you don't want to cause shit on your podcast.
No, I won't name them. Like, I get you can't afford the prices. Right. I can't afford the prices for my own shit. Like, I understand. Believe me, there's artwork I want so bad. And I'm like, your artwork is worth that price. 100%. I will save up for it one day and hopefully be able to afford it. And I will reach back out to you. I will never ask somebody to lower their prices for me. Right. I might barter. I've done that before.
Skill trades. Hell yeah.
My friend Mike from Tales from Asperon and I, we did a barter because I was his editor for a bit. And we bartered his video editing skills for my audio editing skills. And he put together a beautiful video for Awfully Queer Heroes for when we did our show. And it was like, it was a gift / a part of for the podcast, and think sadly the podcast doesn't exist anymore, but you can still go listen to it, but it's not being posted in anymore. But that video was beautifully done. Mike does a wonderful job. And in exchange, instead of just saying, oh, I'm going to give you this next episode free, we broke it up. He's like, I don't want you to be out of money, so why don't we just break it up over the next couple of episodes, and we'll just like take 100 here, 100 here, 100 here. And it eventually adds up to what the total would have been to hire me. Mm-hmm. And it worked out to be an equal like trade for like one episode, basically. But I still got paid for three episodes, just a little bit less, which was fine.
Yeah.
And it worked out that way. And that bartering is definitely an option if that's something that person is interested in doing. Don't force it, because people sometimes are like, I need money. Sorry, not sorry.
Yeah.
And don't be the jackass that's like publicly shaming people for saying that they're not going to lower their prices for you.
Mm-hmm.
Internet, I know who you are, person on the internet. I'm not calling you out. I know who you are, though.
We know. The brain, I mean, we remember. Like, fuck,
we're looking at you.
Whew. We might be talking about the same person, because I'm about to be like, I just did like 6 months of work for another group. Where I was told I was going to get paid. I was told I was going to get paid. I was told it's going to get paid. And then they never end up paying me. And like the other people around me were like, were getting paid and were getting raises for their work. And I'm like, you can clearly afford to pay people, but why am I doing all of this behind the scenes work for you? With no recognition, I woke up to it, you know, like over the summer, and I was like, why am I doing all of this work for you? And you've never done a single fucking thing for me, period.
Mm-hmm. We are not talking about the same person, but I do understand. I do know who you're talking about.
Yeah. Like, and it's so fucking aggravating to get, I mean, but like the reasoning was the same. Well, we're building a community. We want to make sure that, like, you know, we're keeping it as part of the community. Da, 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 da. I'm like, oh, but these other people that you're paying are part of the community as well. And they're on the literally the same equal footing as me in this group. And why is my labor and my effort not worth payment, but these other folks are? I just don't understand. And there was a lot more happening behind the scenes too that I'm not going to get into. But
I honestly think the biggest reason, first and foremost, was because the others probably refused to do it for free.
It's fair. Yeah.
It shouldn't be the reason, but that's probably what it was. But with that in mind, people listening, know your worth, know what you are, should charge, know that you should charge. Like, sure, if you want to do something because you are passionate about it, do it. Help people out. Yeah. Do something that you love. If you want to donate your time for a good cause, do it. I will do that. Like, if somebody wants to work with me and they really want something and I think it's a good reason, I will offer a discount if I can.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But I also am a firm believer of not accepting work that I don't feel comfortable doing.
Yeah.
And that took a lot for me to get to, because I've been offered work for jobs that I would have hated. I would have despised it. I would have fucking been miserable doing it. Yet I was like considering, because I could charge more money, I could get something out of it, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. But I was like, but then I have to listen to this, and I have to listen to this person. I have to work with this person. I don't know. Like, that sounds miserable. I don't wanna. So I said, I'm so sorry. I'm so glad I could help you with starting whatever, but I can't take on any more clients right now. But you just posted. Yeah, I know. I just posted that I was looking for more clients, but I can't right now. I got a lot of interest.
I'm just going through and I'm seeing what works best with my goals.
Right. Exactly. It's like, yeah, you mentioned a name I don't like. I didn't say this, but it's like,
mentally, you're like, oh.
You literally just compared your podcast to, fuck, what's his name? The fucking douchebag on YouTube.
Ben Shapiro?
Shapiro, yes. Ben Shapiro.
Or Andrew Tate?
I think it was Ben Shapiro.
Oh.
The one that makes, like, very questionable, like, 5-minute short things that, like, riles you up in like seconds. Yeah, he's like,
I mean, well, that's both of those men. Oh, and Joe Rogan too. All of them. They're all cut from the same cloth.
It might have been Joe Rogan, but I don't know. It might have been. It was Joe Rogan. So he said Joe Rogan has a good thought when it comes to how he lays out his formatting, and I'm like, the word Joe Rogan had a good thought should never be in your fucking vocabulary.
Correct.
But I don't feel comfortable working with you now. And also, it was a podcast about 1%. I'm just like, yeah, no, I'm good. Thanks, buddy. Thanks. I'm out. No, thank you. And I know this guy's not going to listen to my podcast, which is the only reason why I'm saying anything.
Yeah.
He's not a tabletop person. He met me on Reddit. I don't fucking care.
Yeah.
But then I've had other clients where I've worked with them and then I didn't get the recognition. Like you said, like, I got paid eventually, but like,
right.
I was never listed as their editor anywhere. Even when I asked like 4 times if they could, they just happened to ignore that question every time. And I'm like, That one goes further, but I'll explain after. But
yeah,
it's just, I literally was like, I was polite about it.
Yeah.
But they said something along the lines like, oh, if we decide to move forward with you in the future. And it's like, well, you know, I wish you the best of luck no matter where you decide to go with your efforts. I hope that your listeners enjoyed my editing style like you said that they did. And I'm glad that I was able to make this the best podcast possible for you. And that's all I said. And if they reached out to me and said, hey, we want to do this, I'll be like, no, I'm too busy. Sorry. So sorry. Like, was it a decent podcast? Sure. Like, it was a good podcast. There was a fun content. It was interesting to listen to, but not for the effort of me having to hunt you down to get paid.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
No, on that note. Take care of yourselves, guys, or you'll burn out like we do.
Drink water. Drink water. If you need to get seltzer water that's flavored, like it's been next to a fruit once, you know, to make you drink water, do it.
Find a
wash
way.
Your face.
Drink your water. Wash your face, brush your teeth, go for a short little walk.
Shit, I haven't taken a walk in like over a week because DC's been getting like all of the remnants from Ian, and so we've had constant rain for a week, and I don't know when it's supposed to stop. I think like the hurricane hit and then now, sorry, that's just me going on it.
No, you're fine. I live in Florida, so Ian like was just south of me.
Yeah, like,
I got the outskirts of it, thankfully, out of everything. But we're fine, to clarify. Yeah. Though this post is like going way out after the hurricane has long since gone. The only thing Ian did that was good was it made it colder, but it's still like it dropped to the 60s in Florida. It goes back to up to the fucking 80s during the day, though. I mean, can we stay in the 60s, please? Can we not be in the 80s? That would be fantastic.
I'm up here. It's currently 56. It's gorgeous.
I know. I would be in heaven. Oh, I'm gonna say something really funny. So I'm going. So yes. For those listening, we're going.
Oh yeah.
I'm going to PAX U. You're going to PAX U?
Yeah, I'm going to PAX U. Yeah.
So we're going to PAX U, and we're gonna be roommates.
Like, my God, they were roommates.
And I get to see like a whole bunch of new friends and some friends that I've seen last time because I got to meet Amber and I got to meet a bunch of other people at Gen Con, which is super exciting. And then I get to meet more friends that I didn't get to meet at Gen Con at PAX U. It didn't dawn on me that it was being hosted in December in Philadelphia and that it would be cold until like 2 weeks ago. So I was planning on just going up dressed normal like I normally do. I don't have warm clothes at all because Florida doesn't get very cold.
No, it doesn't.
It does not. Like, it might hit the 30s for like a week max. That's it. Occasionally, once every 3 years or something like that.
Yeah.
And I have like a hoodie maybe that I don't know where it is anymore because like I never wear it. I have like slip-on shoes that don't have socks because it's hot as fuck, and why would I want to wear socks unless I'm wearing sneakers? So I had to like, I was talking to somebody and I don't know why, but it like dawned on me. I'm like, wait, doesn't it snow up there? And they're like, yeah. It's like, I've never seen snow before. And they're like, what? I was like, yeah, I've never seen snow. Oh, it's gonna be cold. Just like, it happened exactly like that. I was like, I should buy some things before I go to this cold place for a week.
Okay. So let me help you. As somebody who's lived in the Mid-Atlantic since 2003, it probably won't, probably, I'm not going to say it won't. It probably won't be snowing in Philadelphia that week. It will be cold as tits, though. Well, your definition of cold. It will probably be in like the 40s and 30s that week. But I mean, I don't know where Mitch is getting her Airbnb, but if we're lucky, you know, we're going to be within walking distance. So, like, you know, it won't be that big of a deal. Drive. Oh, that's not bad. That's not bad at all. So
I don't think we'll be out inside for very long. I don't think we're walking. If we are, we're walking to the metro and taking the metro. But
yeah.
I bought a sweater, which I don't know if it's going to be enough. So my friend is bringing me another jacket just in case. They're like, I'll bring an extra hoodie. Don't worry. And I'm like, okay, thanks.
I think we might be similar sizes. I can bring you stuff too if you need like layering items.
I may. I don't know.
But hit me up closer to the date. I got you.
But I bought gloves. I bought a scarf. I bought a hat. I bought a sweater. And I bought thermal leggings for under my pants. And I bought wool socks. So I bought some stuff, and that's probably all I'm going to buy, because honestly, like, I don't really need more than that at any other reason, at any other time.
I thought we were talking about burnout, not burning up.
We're talking about all of the above. Anyway.
Because this is just me being like, well, if you wear wool socks inside the convention hall, this is good. I mean, even though it'll be like 30s and 40s.
I'm going to bring regular socks. The wool socks are mostly for when we're just at the Airbnb or just chilling, and I'm going to be freezing cold at night.
Fair. Totally fair.
But I am going to bring regular socks to wear under in my sneakers so that I don't, because I know it's going to be warmer inside.
Yeah. What if we all wore onesies at the Airbnb? That is a thing I would love to propose. Onesie night.
I'll give you a hard maybe. But yes, on that note.
Yes.
Onesie night. I think that's everything that we need to talk about today. We talked about a lot, honestly.
Yeah.
We went all over the place, but that's kind of what burnout is. It's going all
It's going all over the place and not knowing how to fucking deal with it.
Yep.
But yeah.
Moral of the story is know your worth.
Sleep.
Sleep.
Oh, sleep.
Know your worth. Get some sleep. Drink your water.
Take your meds if you're not having a med shortage.
Take your meds. Yep. Do that. Do that thing. Get therapy if you can afford
it. Get therapy. Also, don't work for free.
Also, don't work for free. Yeah. And chronic illness is a bitch. Those are our morals of the story.
That's tying it up in a nice, neat bow. Here you go. Here's your gift, everybody.
So, where can people find you on the interwebs?
Hi, everybody. I'm Amber, also known as The Space Jamber on Twitter and Twitch. Twitch. Not past tense. It's The Space, and then my name, Amber, with a J in front of it, The Space Jamber. You can also... By the time this is over, like, a lot of the shows I'll be on are going to be over. But you can find Nikki and I together on Sleepaway, because that'll be airing still when this is released on Weave the Tale.
Yes, it will be. 3:30 p.m. Eastern on
Fridays.
You can find me tonight on Garblog Games at 4 p.m. Eastern, doing, I believe, our last session of the City of Mist campaign, so check that shit out. Tomorrow, you can probably find me on Big Gay Dice Games, 2000 Tales Roleplaying on YouTube. I think we are on our last episode of the Spelljammer series before we switch over to a new game. I believe we are going to be playing Masks soon. So follow that at 8:30 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays. On Thursday, on Chaotic Wonderful, you can go at 7 p.m. Eastern and find a pre-recorded episode of Shadowrun, where I am a player with Taylor, who's also in Sleepaway with us.
Yeah.
And that's going to be episode 2 of 4. We will be releasing the next episode 2 weeks after. And then the last episode, the weekend of PAX on the 1st, I believe. And then not this week, but next Friday night at 7 p.m., I believe, or in the evening. I think it's 7 p.m. Eastern, but don't quote me on that. Look at my Twitter. You can find me on High Shelf Collective playing some Hakata. Bringing back my fortune teller monk lady cat person, which I'm very excited about. She is fun.
You said this is coming out the week of October 24th?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then, I do have some stuff that week. Wow. October 24th, that week, I am on Demon the Fallen on Altered Echo Archives, where I am playing Brett, my big, beefy, gargoyle demon boy who used to be an NFL player and is now a demon. We love to see it. And then that's on the 24th. On the 25th is Tuesday, so that's my TTRPG study hall. That is actually where I get a lot of my TTRPG work done, where that's going to be 8 p.m. Eastern on my Twitch. And that's actually like my weekly thing is, you know, I write shit, you know, I make characters, I do, you know, all of that there. On the 27th at 9 p.m. Eastern on the Initiative Order is my City of Mist campaign, where I am playing a Persephone-inspired character named Cora. Nice. And on the 28th is our Sleepaway at 3:30 p.m. on Weave the Tale. You can find both of us there. And then also the 29th, I'm hosting Rainbow Roll Fest. They're doing like a whole podcast festival. Nice. And so I'm hosting the podcast festival as like Elvira Light, TM, TM, TM. So I have 3 weeks to find a black wig that isn't going to break the bank.
I will also mention that on Weave the Tale tonight, you can also find me DMing Pine Pass Chronicles.
Ooh, Pine Pass.
It's a D&D 5e game that is, we're doing three different adventures. Tonight will be part two of the first adventure. So check that out on Weave a Tale, and I will be running it for 6 weeks. So you have five more weeks to come and join and watch me DM with some awesome players. So there's so much going on. There's probably more things, but, you know, just go check out the Twitter, and the Twitter at Beholders to No One will tell you all the things that I'm doing. You can also find out what you can hire me for on there as well, because you should do that probably.
I love how we just talked about burnout and how we do so much, Nikki, and then we were just like, here's all 6,000 things we're doing just that 1 week.
Look, I'm a hypocrite.
We're the same. Do as we say, not as we do.
These are things I already agreed to do, and you know what?
Yeah.
I took so many things off of my schedule this week. I'm proud of me. So I'll take the small wins. But that's all we have today. So keep being awesome. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, before you go, I just wanted to let you know that this episode was edited by Matt over at Walsh Animation. They are part of the Table Party podcast, and I wanted to give a little bit of a shout out to them, especially because Matt has been such a freaking lifesaver when it comes to editing the discussion episodes recently. So please listen to this ad for Table Party podcast and go check them out and make sure you give them some love. Thanks.
What makes Table Party different from other tabletop podcasts?
The music.
The setting.
The characters.
The gore.
A bunch of different games.
The refreshing coldness of ice cream.
The 300-foot-tall squid named Delilah.
The dice rolls.
The horrifying body horror.
The aroma.
The suffering of my players.
Dairy Queen blizzards.
The luxurious plush texture.
The free coupons.
Bad decisions.
And who can we expect?
I'm Kelsey.
I'm Matt.
I'm Gabe.
I'm Walsh.
I'm Chris.
Welcome to the Table Party.
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 Welcome to the Table Party.